Good evening, family. My daughter sent behind me. She's like, turn off the fan, it's cold. And I was like, what? Midtown cold? No way. That's amazing. Love it. Church, I wanted to tell you guys just that we had said something last week, but Fellowship has been gracious enough to their pastors after almost 10 years at Fellowship. They granted me a sabbatical, which I've been unable to take the last couple years, and so you'll see the Caldwell family less over the next month, and that's not because you're not our people and our family. We just get a gift of being able to go and rest and be together as a family, and my wife and I are going to get away and just restore, and so I love the way they invest in the pastors because we're in it for the long haul, and we want to do the very best in serving you guys, so that's where we will be, and we will miss you guys. I was going to say that our elders, Isaac Smith, Bob Keltner, as well as our staff, as well as our D group leaders, and all of you who have such a vital part, the church continues to go on. And so, but if you have it run into any issues or even needing any shepherding or caring, that's the kind of the chain there, the elders and the staff and the D group leaders and the people sitting next to you. So nothing in our church and our mission is going to slow down or stop. So we're looking forward to that which is coming up, and we wanted to keep you informed. For Devin and Andy and Camille, just want to say thanks for living out the mission. We're proud of you. And let me just say one thing before we jump into the Psalms. No one said anything to me, but I've thought about it many times this week. Last week was Father's Day. We honored fathers. We honored people even who are role models and strong male figures and others. There's one group that I did not mention, but I've thought about them throughout the week. And so I just wanted to say and ask for your forgiveness for that. But there have been many people who have shaped your life and they're not here anymore. And I want to honor their legacy and their lives, because some of us, our dads, are no longer here with us. That's actually what haunted us, or we missed them. That was kind of surrounding the day, and or maybe it was a husband who was a great father to your children. And I just want to say to those people, I don't want their legacy and their life to be forgotten. And so I've thought about you. I've prayed about so many, not even a handful of people in this room. I'm talking a slew of people in the room. We know what that's like. And so I just wanted to say to you, I just wanted to honor the man that you call dad or husband who is a dad of your children. And so I would even love to just pray for just a moment, but I don't want their legacy to be lost on my watch. So would you pray with me? King Jesus, we say thank you. We do pray, Father, we do honor, we lift up those who have gone before. And God, I pray for those on this side, you'd be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the husbandless, and we just want to honor, though, the great men who we think about on Father's Day who we can't physically embrace, but we can't wait to see them again. So, Lord, we remember them today, and we thank you for the time we had with them. God, as we look towards Psalm 1 and Psalm 73 today, Lord, would you teach us? These are psalms of struggle. So, God, would you teach us today? Would you open up our minds to see what you have to say to us? And it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalm chapter 1? And in case you do that on your phone or just look up on the screen, today may be a perfect day just as we're going to look at how to look through two different psalms. That Bible in front of you is going to be a different translation than what's on the screen, but it may give you, if you're a visual learner, it may give you a little bit of help if you didn't bring your own Bible today into seeing that. And you can go ahead and first of all, we'll be at Psalm chapter 1. We'll look at that. And I'm just going to go down memory lane for a moment. When 29 years ago, I was 13, I just gave my life to the Lord. And my youth pastor, we were in a van, other people there, and he said, hey, Tim, I want you to memorize Psalm 1. And I thought I missed the last part of the statement, so I was like, Psalm 1-1? And he said, no, Psalm 1. I didn't know if it was like Psalm 119, and it goes on forever. So I was encouraged to know it was just six verses. I had memorized John 3:16. And so, but he was a very influential man in my life, and so I just went ahead and memorized it. Not knowing what the point of it was or the purpose, and so I memorized it. And the next Wednesday night, he was asking different people, knew different scriptures, and he said, does anybody know Psalm 1? And I thought maybe he'd asked a lot of people that question, so I raised my hand. He said, would you stand up and say it? And I knew it well enough. I said, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water who yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. But not so the wicked. They're like chaff the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly or the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. 29 years it stayed with me. And honestly, at the very beginning, I started like looking up words, like what is assembly, what is chaff, what are like all these words in there. I didn't know exactly, but as I memorized it, it was just kind of became a filter. And really quickly on after that point, I started having that as a filter to see and just some of the wisdom that the Lord gives us. And so we'll even put one up on the screen. I'll tell you, right after that, I got to see this principle played out. I saw my brother who, at the same time, this real influential youth pastor, I saw him even to the point of tears at a camp, like really feeling the invitation of the Lord to come and know the Lord. And my brother wrestled with that and wasn't really all in and wanted to. But I noticed this progression of him desiring the Lord, but also the people that he walked with were not great. And he went from just kind of walking and being acquaintances with them to standing with them. Those kind of little bit of his group. And then I saw this ultimate one that he actually made his home with them. The people who wanted nothing to do with the Lord. This progression, and even to this day, I saw the progression and it's never reversed. You see, you memorize something, you meditate on it, you marinate, it almost becomes a filter in what you see things through. Lots of other things the Lord has taught me through Psalm 1, and so I would just say this, no one is too old to memorize Scripture, no one is too young. I challenge you to that. When you memorize it, it stays with you, and some of these wisdom psalms that we'll talk about today, hopefully they would stay with you. So I think in your bulletin it says, but the wisdom psalms, there's lots of them even more than just this, but Psalm 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 37, 49, 73, 112, 119, 127, 128, 133, and 139. There's a couple things as you've been in your reading guide, there's a couple things to learn about these wisdom psalms. The number one, if you're taking notes, they convey general wisdom like the Proverbs. Not a whole lot of format to them, just proverbs, just wise sayings that you can almost sometimes even just take out of context and them in themselves. It's just a principle that you can see in life. So sometimes that's what it is. So Psalm 1:1, you can look at that. We can put it back on the screen again. This, I mean, you've probably seen this play out before. If you see a teenager who goes from kind of the straight and narrow to off, like it doesn't happen in a day. You look, a lot of times it's kind of who they're walking with and then who they're standing with and who they make their home with, right? The verse that says, do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. Like you see it again and again. And here's the deal, if you're in it and you're in that digression, you can't usually see it, but everybody around you, they see it. So if you wonder if you're on that path, why don't you ask those around you? Sometimes if you see a marriage that just somebody goes AWOL, it doesn't happen in a day, you just see this progression. In the life of Lot, you see a progression of just looking over to this desirous city, to moving towards it, to living there, to not wanting to leave. It's just a progression. And so some of these things like this right here and just some of the principles that you have in Scripture, it just conveys general wisdom like the Proverbs, and it gives us truth to look at and filter life through. Number one, it conveys general wisdom like that. Number two, it contrasts life choices of those who reject God with those who embrace him, okay? Contrast life choices of those who reject God with those who embrace him. So many times it will talk about the fool or the foolish or the wicked, and then it talks about the wise or the righteous. So the people who maybe would take things into their own hands and do it their own way would be the foolish one, because if God's all wisdom and he created us, who wouldn't listen? And then those who would listen to him. And so it really is just kind of a general sense. So some things like Psalm 37:16, better is a little with the righteous than abundance with the wicked. Just here's what it looks like. It'd be better to have very little with the righteous than having a whole ton with the wicked. Like just general sayings for that. What I wanted you to see is you may have already seen some of these as Shalita read. This is general wisdom of comparison. This is not like a scare tactic. When I was a kid, my mom was worrisome that we would not stay on the straight and narrow. She didn't know what we did on the weekends or when I went to my dad's house. So we, lots of rules. So here's the deal. She showed us this video one time. It was on rock and roll. And it showed like mass murders. And you know what they used to listen to? rock and roll and terrorists, right? And whoever it was, like all these people, and these people who did bad things and they took their lives or they did like all this. And it was like, so the moral of the story is don't listen to rock and roll. And I'm like, Mom, it's like Bon Jovi. I mean, come on. I mean, what's bad? Or Journey or the Doobie Brothers or... So I felt like even at 7, I felt like that was a little bit of a scare tactic, okay? This dramatic, extreme, oh no. And so sometimes with some of you, if that's the filter that you come to the Psalms, it says the wicked will perish, almost as if the writer of the Psalms is like, we got to scare them to keep them coming back to church. And like, you're going to die. Like, that's not it. It's just general wisdom of what does it look like for a person to follow the Lord? What does that look like in their life, in their decisions, in wise living? And then what does it look like for the person who would say there is no God, the person who would say, I'm going to do this my own way and figure it out my own way. And it's just a general wisdom like the Proverbs, contrasting life choices of those who reject the Lord and those who embrace him. And then the last one, this is kind of where we're going to camp out on today. It confesses God's wisdom wins out. So the wisdom Psalms, they confess that God's wisdom wins out. What happens when all that we know here, we're not seeing it played out in life? Like we really scratch our head and say, God, do you really know what you're doing? or it says this is the way of the righteous, but it doesn't seem like, it seems like the opposite is happening. Like how do we trust his wisdom? And this gives us a great picture of that. And actually Psalm 73 gives us a great struggle because he's really wrestling. God, is your wisdom, like is it really being played out here? If you can just think for just a moment, either when you were young, you may not remember before 5, if you've ever seen a parent, I feel like I'm a pretty good dad, right? But like when my kids were 2 and 4, I took them to the doctor and I allowed that doctor to give them shots. I mean, what kind of a shady dad if you're a 4-year-old? I mean, this dad who, you know, gives you a sucker afterwards, right? He's gonna allow somebody, he's gonna hold you up so that they can inflict pain on you. Now listen, as a 2 and a 4-year-old, that makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, all the other times, I'm the one that loves them and cares for them and delights in them, and now I'm gonna let somebody inflict pain? They can't see it from their point of view. Sometimes what these wisdom psalms are declaring is even though from our point of view, it seems whack, it seems crazy, we're gonna worship him anyways. We're gonna say, we trust you. We're gonna declare that you are good. So that is a little bit of the three things that they do. In Psalm 73, we're going to look at this, and we're going to see this last one. This confessing that even though things in this world don't look like they line up with Scripture, and they don't look like they line up with what we thought was true, how do we struggle in that and continue to worship the Lord in it? So I want you to go ahead and turn from Psalm 1 to Psalm 73, if that's a couple pages over, or if that's on your phone, a new chapter. Let's turn to 73. And let's just talk about it for a moment. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. Psalm 73 was written by Asaph. I think he wrote 12 psalms. We'll read the first 3 verses. We'll get a little bit of the situation. It says, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Just pause for a moment just to make sure we're on the same page. So God is good to the country or to the people who are pure in heart, right? So this thought of if you love the Lord, you follow his ways. It's not like you go out here and get the winning lottery ticket and God gives you a wink and you're like hooked up for a lot. Like that's not it. It's just this thought of going, okay, if I'm following the Lord, like he's going to watch over my way, right? I mean, he's for me in that. Like I have his favor. That's what the thought is. Truly God's good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Verse 2, but as for me, my feet almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Why? Because I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. His feet slipped because he envied the arrogant. Just one thing, this is not just general envy. If when Shalita was reading this, this isn't Christmas time. If you're a young adult, if you're a kid, you get a PS3 and your neighbor gets a PS27 or 7 or the latest, greatest. This isn't you get a car, somebody else gets a better. Like, I guess that would cause envy in you. This is a struggle that basically saying he's walking the way of the Lord and life is hard. And the people who almost totally reject God or spit in his face and kind of go, we don't even care. It's almost like God's blessing is on them, yet they're living for God, and it almost seems like God's curse is on him. So he's like really struggling. Like this does not, this wasn't just like they had a good day and I had a bad day. Like this is a season. Like he's struggling here. I want you to read like this struggle in just a couple of these verses. In verse 13, he even asks this like question, in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence? Like this living for you, is it worth anything at all? Like, do you care? For all day long, I have been stricken and rebuked. Verse 16, but when I thought of how to understand this, it seemed like a wearisome task, like draining. Even verse 21, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant like a beast towards you. Like this has messed him up. So it wasn't just envy. Somebody else has something better and I don't. Like this is like really, he's starting to question even the wisdom of God. Like, is all the stuff that I know and that you say in here like really playing out? Almost as if he's doubting several of those things, making him scratch his head, doubt, even wonder, is what I'm doing even right? Does it count for anything? Not because he's looking for rewards. Maybe the best picture of this I can give is I gave my life to the Lord, middle school. My brother, he wanted to. He walked a different path, and that path worked out really well for him. He became one of the most popular guys in our high school, Mesquite High, about 2,400 students. He had his own place at 18. Like his senior year, my dad had gotten him an apartment. It's where the parties went down. It's where all the stuff went down. So there was one day that I'm sitting there and we're walking down the halls. Because at that point he had a car, I didn't. He was a senior, I was a junior. We're walking down the halls and the football team's like, Eric! He wasn't even on the football team, right? He's like, yo! Right, the ladies and the drill team ladies and the pretty girls are like, hey, Eric, right? See you Friday, because the parties were at his house. And person after person after person after person after person. There was one person that was like, what's up? And I was like, yo! But they weren't talking to me. For a moment there, I just thought, okay, Lord, I gave my life to you, and I've lost pretty much most of my friendships. My family doesn't really want me around for the most part, minus my mom. My brother has said, I don't want your ways. And it's almost as if he had like the favor and blessing of God because everything went well. And I had never been more alone in all my life. And I'm scratching my head. I'm going like, Lord, do you see this? Like it was a struggle for me. Yes, the Lord was good and precious and I was close to him and he was my treasure. But it was like, Lord, what about everything else in life? It didn't make sense. And that was just high school. Asaph here is really struggling. Like, why in the world? Why in the world are these things happening? Let me just give you a couple things for maybe you. Maybe you've chosen the straight and narrow. You are not going to move up your ladder in your job by cheating and backstabbing and making alliances. Yet, the people who do, now they sit at the top. Maybe they're even your boss, and you're still at the bottom of the food chain. Maybe you decide to live for Jesus and do things a little differently as a family, and yet you get to the point where your kids aren't loving the Lord. Yet Joe Schmo across the street who like just parented like so carelessly, like his kids are doing uber well. Maybe that same question, like, Lord, where's your favor? Maybe it is you are devout in your devotion to the Lord, but you don't feel him. And the flaky person down the street who shows up like every 2 months to church, it's like God's blessing them. And they're like, oh, the Lord, it's just coming alive. And God's speaking to them. And you're kind of going, but like, I'm devoted. And some of the things in our minds that we're thinking, and we just question, Lord, do you see the long term? Does this all make sense? This doubting, this is the struggle that Asaph had. And just a little bit of news. This struggle, you see that Asaph struggled with it before he wrote this, while he wrote it, and maybe even afterwards. There's not like this solution that it's like, oh, he went to a really cool Midtown service, ding, and now he was like, good. This was actually a season for him. It was a struggle. I know that not everybody is here right now. If you walk with the Lord long enough, I'm sure you'll go through seasons of dryness. Seasons where maybe you question his wisdom, question what is going on now, because it doesn't seem, that which meets the eye does not seem always to line up with this. So what is the solution? In your bulletin, let me just give you a little bit of insight. Psalm 10 and Psalm 73 are a lot alike. Psalm 37 is a lot like them as well. They all struggle with this thing of envy, and envying the arrogant, envying the wicked. So under the solution, I even put, like, I saw this like sermon outline and from Psalm 37, and they have all these answers under there, like, hey, just don't envy, right? And it gives the verses, and don't fret, right? Has that ever worked for you? You're really anxious, hey, just don't fret, man, right? Maybe, it's truth, it's God's truth, right? It is. Do good where you are. Devote yourself in God's truth. Delay and wait. Delight yourself in the Lord. All scripture is God-breathed. It's living and active. So listen, I don't discount that at all. I just want to tell you the difference between Psalm 37, it's almost proverbial wisdom in the fact that they say all these sayings, and Asaph is in a struggle where that it's not just give me like some proverbs and general wisdom. He's struggling before, during, and after. And so what is the solution that he would give us or that he's found that maybe today we would be able to be comfortable with just meditating on some of these as we leave this place? Maybe we could look at these and still worship the Lord even though things aren't all completely what we thought they would be in our life. There's two things that he alludes to that Asaph does in Psalm 73. The very first one is this, is consider the long term. Consider the long term. General principle of wisdom compared to foolishness. Foolishness, it's immediate, it's satisfaction, it's whatever that feels good right now. Wisdom seems to look more towards the long game, more towards the end. And that's what he says in verse 16 and 17. He says this, Asaph says, but when I thought how to understand all this, it seemed like a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. He's having to take himself to go, you know what, there comes a day when I stand before the Lord and I hear, well done, thy good and faithful service. Servant, I hear, come into the joy of your master. And realizing that those who live for pleasure and do not live for Jesus, it's going to be a different ending. So he can look towards the end for them. And so that's just one place of going, okay, consider the end. That's generally what wisdom says, look towards the end. Can I just ask you a quick question here? For some reason, if the wisdom of this word does not seem to be playing out in your life, have you considered the end? Have you considered not only heaven, have you considered maybe what God is doing in you to shape you, to work in you, to purify you, to make you useful for his service? Have you considered that? Because I want to remind you, I told you as a horrible dad that I am, I take my kids to get shots. It's because as a loving father, I'm thinking about the long term. I'm thinking of other things that they could get minus temporary pain. I'm thinking of the long term of their well-being. Could it be that our Heavenly Father, though things do not make sense to us right now, that our Heavenly Father, that he looks towards the end, he looks at that who we would become, that we could claim promises and pray them, things like we know that God works all things for our good for those who love him, according to his purposes. Can we quote that, knowing that in love? Considering the long term, that which the Lord is forming in us. I know for some of us that this season may seem like an eternity, but it's not an eternity, it's a season. Eternity is eternity. Eternity is forever. So we fix our eyes on that, as 2 Corinthians 4:18 says. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Everybody say, consider the long term. Say it one more time. Consider the long term. And that's one of the things that Asaph does. The second one is this. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. I'm just going to read some of the verses if you have your Bibles with you. Psalm 73, we'll start in 23. Listen, this huge struggle, but he says in 23, but you know what? I'm continually with you and you hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel and afterwards you receive me. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth I desire but you. My heart and my flesh, they may fail, but God, you're the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Behold, those who are far from you, they'll perish, and you put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it's just good to be near you, God. I have made the Lord my refuge that I may tell of your good works. I don't know if it's an answer. Asaph just says, I'm struggling, but it's really good for me to be with you. When I can hold your hand, when I can walk with you, when I feel your nearness and your pleasure, it's good for me. That's what I need. And listen, sometimes when we doubt somebody's character or doubt the wisdom, our most natural thing is just to step away, just distance ourselves and see how it all plays out. And he's saying just the opposite. No, delight, run towards the Lord and delight in him. Psalm 73 talks about delight. Psalm 1 talks about delight. Psalm 37 talks about delight. They all have a common theme. Delight in the Lord, even if you're questioning. Delight in him. Delight in him. In a moment, we're going to sing a couple more songs, regardless of your story and what you see playing out. We're going to delight in him, and we're going to worship him because we can trust that he is faithful and he is right. Does anybody know Psalm 37:4? You may have it written in your house. You may have it memorized from being with FSK, Fellowship Kids. We'll go over it together. It says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Can we just read that together? If you would leave with one thing besides Psalm 1, I would want you to have this. Let's read this together. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. One more time. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. As the band, I'll go ahead and call you guys up. Would you just look and meditate on that for just a moment? Just meditate that on him for a moment. Our command in these Psalms is to delight in him. Ricky, we'll just leave that up there. Here's what I used to think as a kid. As a teenager, I even heard it quoted and preached. But delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So when somebody's like, oh, I kind of want this, want to pray about this. Well, hey, just delight in the Lord, and you'll get it. Almost like, hey, go to church and be good with him, and then like a blank check, ask for whatever you want. I mean, it was like before Will Smith was blue in Aladdin, right? And a little genie lamp, right? Hey, what's the magic formula? Delight in him, and look, get whatever you want. That's how I used to read it. Think, okay, you can just ask, but just make sure you're in line with his heart, then just ask whatever. Did you know that Psalm 37 is the same context of Psalm 73? Somebody who's struggling with envying the wicked, envying those who are prosperous. And what does he say? He says, no. Delight yourself in the Lord, and what he'll give you the desires of your heart. That which maybe you envy from others, that acceptance or that heart satisfaction, that joy, the Lord's saying that comes in me. That which you're longing for in other people, that favor, like that comes in me. What he commands us to do is not to just write this little genie lamp and ask whatever we want for us. Listen, you delight yourself in the Lord and he gives you the desires of your heart. He gives you the satisfaction that you're longing for. He gives you the approval. He gives you all of those things that you were searching for. They come in the Lord. Don't envy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Church, I don't know if we can say that as a faith statement or we believe that, because right now things are good, and he's good, and he is the delight of your life. I'm grateful for that. I would just say there's been plenty of seasons in my life that I've had to pray this in faith. Lord, I want to delight in you, but you seem far off. I want to pray for us today, and then in faith, we're going to sing these songs. Be now my vision. We're going to praise him, regardless of struggle or not, regardless of wisdom seems played out in our lives right now. Pray with me. King Jesus, we thank you that you are faithful, and it really doesn't matter what life seems like right now, God, because you see the end. God, I pray that for the people here today, I pray that we would delight in you, that we would enjoy you, that you would be the desire of our heart. And whether it's going through a desert, whether it seems like maybe we missed you, oh God, would you clear that up and let us feel your presence? God Almighty, we want the wisdom of you. And today we wanted to declare that even if things don't make sense, we trust you. Because we know your word says that you're a loving Father. We know your word says that you work all things for our good. We know that you work all things also for your glory, and that's a good thing. So Lord, give us vision and give us understanding. Meet those in this place who they don't have resolve, just like Asaph. God, I pray, Father, for those who delight in you. I pray that, Lord, that season would not stop. God, give us your wisdom. We thank you for the gift of the Psalms. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who makes even a relationship with you even possible. So, King Jesus, be honored in our song. Be honored in our affections and our thoughts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.